Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. We have so much going on in our community, in our congregation. I've appreciated so much the prayers that have been led today. We need to continue to pray for our community. We need to pray for our congregation. And of course, that means specific individuals that we have that are much in need. This morning, the first Sunday of this new year, I want to share with you some thoughts that are coming from the worship committee. We have a group of elders and ministers that get together, and we have planned an outline of work for the whole year. We know that there are going to be many challenges, and some of this will need to be updated and changed as we go through the different kinds of things that we have to look forward to in this year. The overall theme that we are using this year is sharing life, changing lives. And each month in our sermon presentations, we're going to break down into four categories of types of sermons. The first is under this heading of sharing life, and we're going to look at lessons that explore how we grow together as Christians and how we support each other. It's going to be a very, very important thing. And then the next three are going to come under this heading of changing lives. We're looking at lessons on reaching out beyond ourselves and focusing on allowing the Word to help us bring others to the Lord. And then we're going to present gospel messages, good news about the life of Christ and what that means to our lives. And these will be lessons that are going to be based on fundamentals of the gospel. And then there are many concerns about temporary issues that are going on in our culture. And some of our lessons are going to help us think about social and cultural issues that can be divisive in the church. And there are a number of those. The ministers have gotten together and we have worked together on what topics we're going to deal with as the worship committee as a whole has selected the topics. We will not be planning on having any special speakers, at least for the first half of the year, because of COVID and the flexibility that we need. And one of our keys in working through all of this is going to be flexibility, the ability to adjust from one week to another. And men of the congregation, different men, are going to be invited to write weekly devotionals for inserts in the worship bulletin when we are able to do that. And we're grateful to these men that have been willing to do that. And then we're going to have a daily Bible reading program that will come from the Discipleship Journal Bible Reading Plan. It takes readings from four separate places in the Scriptures every day. And that will help us grasp the unity of the Scriptures as well as to enjoy a variety of different viewpoints. This is going to be available on eHub each Friday, and it will be available in print at the Welcome Center desk when we meet at the building. And then while we are streaming our services, copies of this plan will be available at the church office. And I hope that all of you will plan on being involved in reading the Bible every day. It makes a difference in our lives because it is our guide for life. A lot of work has been put into this plan, and this is just a brief look at what we're planning to do, and the elders are planning on adding to this presentation in Lord's days to come. They'll do what they think is best for us and share with us information that they want us to know about the work that the Henderson Church is going to be involved in the coming year. This morning, my topic is the Beatitudes, and I'm going to do a general lesson on the Beatitudes, and it is called, where these are presented, the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in Matthew chapter 5. But as we take a look at this particular photograph, it is a picture of what is called the Hill of Beatitudes, and it is believed that the Sermon on the Mount was delivered from here. And instead of the Mount of Beatitudes, some have suggested It should be called the Sermon on the Mound because this particular place is only 330 feet high, as opposed to some mountains that are hundreds and thousands of feet high. And so we have this place here, and what I want to share with you is this picture of the Beatitudes God gives us in these verses that were read calls for a transition in heart and life. It's not just a beautiful setting of writings that are there for us. It's something that is given to us to be buried deep in our hearts, taken in, and let those teachings be with us every day and transform our hearts. And that will then transform our lives into what God wants it to be. And as we take a brief look here at the Beatitudes overall, I want you to think that this has been called by some the Kingdom Manifesto. And the reason is that a manifesto is a public declaration of policy and aims. God has specific plans for every life. Sometimes we say, I know that God has a plan for me. Well, He does. He has a specific plan for how I'm supposed to live life every day, how I'm supposed to think every day, how I'm supposed to act every day, how I'm supposed to treat people every day, how I'm supposed to grow every day. And what Jesus did in this Sermon on the Mount, in the beginning with these passages that we call the Beatitudes, He declares publicly how life ought to be lived. The aim that you have in life, the way you look forward, Jesus speaks to very clearly here. And it declares how Christianity must be lived every day with a transition in heart and life in mind. And as we think about these Beatitudes, I'm going to share with you three major points as I take a look at it. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons, different types of sermons, have been preached about the Beatitudes and what they contain and what they mean. But as we take a look at these three ideas that I want to share with you this morning, I think help us to see what the policy of the Lord is, what the aim of the Lord is for each of our lives. And the beginning is a poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. One of the things that we think of when we look at ourselves, at times we say, have pride in yourselves. And should we do that? Yes, we should, if we're thinking about pride in the most positive way that can be thought about. We need to take pride in the way that we look, in the way that others think about us, in the way that we communicate, in our ability to do things in one way or another. Pride's a very great thing in that regard, but when we begin to develop a sense of pride where we trust in ourselves, in our ability to think, trust in our ability to act without the Lord's help, the pride that comes in can destroy us and take our spiritual lives away from us. And so we need to be thinking about this humility of possessing poverty of spirit. That is a recognition that we need God. We cannot live properly, appropriately without God. No one possesses enough spiritual resources to purchase God's blessings. And there are two reasons I want to share with you that are there on the screen. We cannot purchase God's blessings, first of all, because the price is too high. Holiness, purity, righteousness, glory, honor, and power. Can we have those things? Yes, we can. And in a moment, I'm going to be talking about our creation in the image of God. And we can possess those things only to the degree that humanity can possess them. But to purchase the spiritual resources that would save our souls cannot be done. The price is way too high. And then secondly, God's blessings are not for sale. In fact, if you continue reading in this Sermon on the Mount down in chapter 5, you're going to see that God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. God doesn't pay people back for doing good in the sense of the material blessings that we receive. Everybody in the world that is born into this world receives God's gift of life. And He provides air for us to breathe, water for us to drink, food for us to eat. God provides all of those things without charge. And over and over and over again in the New Testament, we can read statements like the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not for sale. You can't be good enough and big enough spiritually on your own. And so this great teaching begins encouraging us to develop a poverty of spirit that says we cannot stand on our own spiritual feet. We must depend on God's free gift of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. The second step is to learn about sin. Not just to learn what it is, the Bible teaches us that. Sin is a violation of God's law. It's a transgression of God's law. It is taking life into our own hands without thinking about God's will and God's way. And there must be a mourning over sin. It must grieve us unthinkably. I'm thinking about the loss of great friends of ours just this week. And our hearts are broken. But we must never grieve less over our sins than we grieve over the loss of people that we love. Our grief for sins needs to be deep. And when we begin to think about what David prayed for, a clean heart, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. His grief over sin, according to Psalm 51, was unthinkably great, so great it made him sick. And so we move from a poverty in spirit to see the sins in our lives and a recognition that we can do nothing about it on our own. And an expression of grief is critical to understand mourning. We have to show God that we're concerned. It's not enough just to know your sinful condition. Every one of us needs to know that and understand it, but repentance must be demonstrated. To those people on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 who cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" when they learned that they had murdered Jesus Christ, God's Son, through the crucifixion of His body. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's a demonstration. The sign of repentance is dying to sin in baptism and being buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Our grief over sin must be so great that we're willing to die to sin in baptism and be raised from the dead. So we begin with a poverty of spirit, and we move to being able to mourn over our sins. And then the third thing that is impressed upon us is we must live the life of Christ. Blessed for many years to teach the life of Christ to college students. Blessed for many years to study the life of Christ. But the greatest blessing is to live the life of Christ. And that is the challenge that is so difficult for every one of us. And what we have in this public expression of what God expects of us, He expects us to become more and more and more like Him. When we begin to think about our lives every day being transformed, Romans 12, as we read those first three verses that are so famous and so popular for good reason. We are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that is the way that we can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect with regard to the will of God. And so Jesus begins to say, you can be like me. You can possess qualities like I possess. You can work in life and live the life that Christ lived with regard to these very meaningful qualities and characteristics. And he begins with meekness. When you look at the life of Jesus, he didn't claim very much for himself. Jesus was not braggadocious in any sense. He did state some facts that might seem to some to be braggadocious. In fact, when he said, I am the Son of God, the people around him, the Pharisees, thought that was mockery, that he was being so braggadocious about himself. But he did claim two things when he gave what we call the great invitation in Matthew 11. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Those two things we see in the life of Christ. Meekness is a mark of strength through submission. Jesus came into the world to submit to the will of his Father consistently. His teaching about himself is, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. My meat is to do the will of my Father in heaven. He consistently claimed to do the will of the Father. Again, if we go back to the garden prayer, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He so wanted to not go to that cross. Every one of us can understand that. But in meekness, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. He had the strength to walk the pathway to that cross up the hill of Golgotha and to die for you and me. Meekness must never be confused with weakness. And then the second point that Jesus makes here with regard to his character and his life is we hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is an ongoing desire to know God. And that's never fulfilled in this world. It's so impressive to me that a man so committed as the Apostle Paul, who gave his entire life once he was converted to the teaching and preaching of the gospel of Christ, he never felt satisfied. He had accolades that the world could lay on him. He lists those in Philippians 3. But then he says, I do not count myself to have attained, but I press on toward the prize, toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Every one of us needs to be hungry and thirsty. I know that very often we're in a hurry on Sunday morning, and we don't do breakfast like we should. In fact, some plan to do breakfast afterwards purposefully. And as we come to worship, we are hungry. And we feel that urge for something to eat. I feel it now. If I could feel that way every day about the gospel of Christ and what it means to be like Christ and what it's going to mean today to face the world living the life of Christ, that's what hungering, thirsting after righteousness is going to be in our lives. And then Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. It is so hard to be merciful many times. Easy sometimes. If it's somebody that we love that hurts our feelings and they come to us and they beg us to forgive them, it is so easy. Our mercy comes so easy sometimes. In fact, sometimes we understand before they ever ask. We're so merciful. But sometimes people hurt us in such a way, hard to forgive, hard to be merciful, to give to person something they do not deserve. when we go before a judge with a speeding ticket or anything like that, we want mercy. We don't want him to give him what we deserve. We're not looking for justice. We're looking for mercy. And God says, if you want to be like him, if you want to be like Christ and live the life of Christ, you're going to develop a sense of mercy, and you're going to be able to extend that to people who do not deserve it. And then, purity in heart. That is, spiritually clean from the inside out. Go back and read Matthew chapter 23. And you'll see how Jesus saw the Pharisees and tried to help them see how they ought to see themselves. They were so haughty. They were so prideful. They thought they were God's spiritual gift to humanity there. But God was trying to help move them to that poverty of spirit that leads to mourning over sins. And that can lead us to want to live more like the Christ. I don't know if you've ever gone to a restaurant or not, and someone set a plate before you, or you pick a plate up off of the salad bar, and you look on it, and it's got food that dried on it that didn't get washed off. Do you want to eat with that plate? Pretty likely you're going to say, oops, I'm going to lay this over here. And you'll put it in a way most times where you think nobody else is going to pick it up, because we don't want to eat with a dirty plate, a plate that someone else has eaten out of before we get it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are like those dirty dishes. You are clean on the outside, but on the inside, you are not clean from the inside out. In Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus was trying to teach some of these very same people, and he was talking to them about uncleanness and what it's really all about, and he said, it's not that which goes into the mouth that is unclean, but it's that which comes out from deep down inside, from the heart. That's what defiles a man. And then he begins to list sins that we see all around us, and unfortunately, sins that we see in our own lives. I mentioned David a while ago praying for a clean heart and a renewed spirit. Thanks be to God that he will let us live every day in spite of the fact that we are sinful creatures and that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. Because as a child of God, our outward man is decaying, but this inward man is being renewed day by day. God lets us live in a great way, with purity of heart. And then God wants us to be peacemakers. Peace with God and peace with our fellow man. God didn't put us in a world where we will ever have total peace, because people are not willing to be at peace with God. And since we're not being willing to be at peace with God, we're not willing to be at peace with each other. When we think we're right, we're going to demand our rights, and we'll cause problems over it. If we think in an area of judgment we have the best judgment, we will cause problems over it. We'll cause division over it. And God wants us to be peacemakers, loving peace. In so much as is within you, God says, be at peace with one another. You take the responsibility for peacemaking. No matter what the other person does, you be a peacemaker. And then, as a result of all of that, you can expect to be persecuted. But Jesus said, persecuted believers are going to be rewarded in the kingdom. Not delivered from difficulty in this life, but rewarded. And we often confuse blessing and reward. Divine rewards are generally going to come later. God rewards us in some ways here in this world that we don't fully understand. He may bring some difficulty into our life that will bless us and bless other people. We don't see that as a blessing someday. We don't see that as a reward. And so we confuse blessing and reward sometimes. We are going to experience some blessings in this world, but that reward that we're looking for is eternal in the heavens. So if you develop the poverty of spirit that leads you to know and believe and trust in the fact that you cannot live life without God and be safe with God, it's going to cause you to mourn over your sins. And when you do, true repentance is going to turn in your life to what God wants us to do. And then we can begin adding these qualities that we've looked at into the attitudes to our lives to live the life of Christ. And so the manifesto of the kingdom, that is this public declaration of policy that God has for us, and this public declaration of aims for us to live up to, are seen in the Beatitudes. And may God help us all to continue to work at developing and keeping a poverty of spirit that leads us to consistently depend upon God. And though we sin, God provides for us cleansing of that sin if we mourn over them. And we do as Peter told those people on Pentecost to do, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you are born into the family of God as you are baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, the challenge is not over by any means. Live the life of Christ. If you're listening online and you need some kind of response to the Lord and we can help you in any way, please contact one of our elders. Please contact one of our ministers and help us to help you develop in the way that God wants us to develop, developing that change in heart and life that leads us right to Christ. Would you bow as we close, please? Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Father, we have many in our community, in our congregation, who are struggling in various ways. We have great people that we love that have lost loved ones. We have great people that we love who are experiencing the COVID virus. We have people that are experiencing personal problems, family difficulties. There's so many things that are going on, Father, where people need you. May each of us have that poverty of spirit where we will call upon you and we'll turn away from any sin that's creating problems in our lives, and that we will live as you would have us to live. Bless us to that end as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.